Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 173. It is the week of March 3rd, and that means this week is the Graveyard 100. I've got three big things coming up, Graveyard 100 being one of those. And no, I'm not running it. I am the finish line captain, and this is an ultra marathon down in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. It's a 100 miler and 100K. I ran the 100K last year, and I think it's a great event. I had a lot of fun. It was really hard. I had a lot of fun with it last year, and going down to work the race this year with Brandon. And I should have a whole lot of fun, meet some new people, and I guess for the first time, it will be the first time in my life, I guess, I'll see the winner of the 100-miler, because I don't think I've ever seen – I've seen somebody win a marathon. That was a couple years ago in West Virginia at the Hatfield-McCoy. That's another story. If you've listened to the – if you've been a regular listener, then you know that was back when I was on crutches. But anyway, this should be the first time, I think, that I'll see somebody actually win – an ultra marathon, especially a 100-miler. So I'm very excited about that. Of course, my job is to make sure I'm at the finish line. And I guess Brandon's anticipating the winner of the 100-miler, I'm guessing maybe somewhere between 13 and 15 hours is what I think. There are some elite ultra runners going to be participating in that. Their names escape me at the moment. Mike Morton was signed up. We'll just have to wait and see what the deal is with that. There was a lot of excitement around him signing up for the race. His name is on the website, is being registered. We'll have to see what happens with that. So I'm very excited about that. I'll be headed down day before to participate in the staff lunch. Brandon, who is the race director, is gracious enough to he's having a lunch for all staff and returning participants. So even if I was running in the race again this year, I'd be going down there on that Friday. And then I'll probably attend the pre-race briefing. I was hoping to maybe catch up with a friend that lives down in that area. May or may not happen, not sure. And then I think the pre-race briefing is at 6 o'clock, and it's always good to go to that just to see who the people are. And then I probably will miss the start of the 100-miler, being that that is, I think, at 5 in the morning, and that'll be, I think, about 30 miles north of where I'm going to be. And just for the sake of not burning up an extra couple gallons of gas, I might just sleep in Saturday morning and just get in the car and head on down to the finish line and set that up per Brandon's instructions. So I'm really, really excited about going down for this race. And I'm hoping to, if all goes well, this might actually be turn into something I do again if I don't disappoint anybody. And I'm going to put a link at ashlanddave.podbean.com, but to this race, but it probably would be much easier if you just searched Graveyard 100 and check that out. And like I've said before, I'll say it again, I've actually made a documentary of my experience last year in this race, and I'm gonna make that available. It's in DVD format. I think it's about 40 minutes long. So, you know, you can pop it in and actually sit back for a little while. No commercials in it. And, hit me up at ashlanddave@gmail.com and give me your address or somewhere, wherever you want it sent. And, I'll send that to you free of charge. And all I do is include a little, thing in there if you want to send a donation to a local charity that I support. Not a real big deal. You know, that's totally up to you. It's not something I check on. I don't wait for the donation to go before I send it. You know, that's just my way of kind of spreading the word of this ultra marathon that I enjoyed a lot, and also, you know, plug in this local charity called ACES that we support, our family support. So that's the Graveyard 100. That's coming up March 9th, which is just a few days away. And I will have a full report on that likely. What I'll probably do, some podcasting. I'll produce some parts of the Graveyard 100 podcast probably while I'm down there, since I do anticipate having some time alone, waiting for runners to come in. I think there will be maybe one or two other people working the finish line area with me at different times, you know, because you have to sleep at some point. The race starts at, I believe it's 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. on Saturday morning, and the cutoff is noon Sunday for the 100K and the 100 miler, and it finishes in Hatteras, North Carolina. So I'll be looking forward to that. Also, a big thing coming up is the Blue Ridge Marathon, which is April 20th. That's in Roanoke, Virginia. I've already registered for that. I'll be running that with Sandy. And probably the biggest thing having to do with this is I've had to get back into hill training again. And hill training is a very it's something I don't really like to do, but I've done two sessions of it now. And I've actually kind of liked it a little bit. And I mean, I'm starting to get back into it a little bit. And the interesting thing about it is that I the first time I did it a couple weeks ago, I took my dog with me to a local park that has a service road, a gravel service road that is pretty steep. And I don't know, I think it's about, it's almost, I think it's not quite 0.2 miles long. And after three hill repeats, he would stay at the top of the hill. He didn't want to run back down. He knew we were going back down to turn around and come back up. I could tell he was not interested in that at all. So the point of doing hills is to teach your body to handle the anaerobic respiration, the waste product of that anaerobic respiration, which is lactate, lactic acid, and I think I got most of the chemistry right as I explain this because I've tried to learn about it, and that way I know what hill training is all about. Hill training is very similar to when you do speed work. It's to teach your body to work at that anaerobic state and recover better and be able to extend those anaerobic periods of time. And anaerobic meaning using more force. So if you're going to sprint or run at a very fast pace, you have to use more force. If you're running up a hill, you have to use more force. And so your body kind of switches into this anaerobic state when you're using more force, which uses fast twitch muscles. You're going to use your quadriceps. You have to lift your knees higher when you're going up a hill. And your body turns into an anaerobic state, which produces that waste where when you're running in an aerobic state, it can be sustained for long periods of time because you don't have that waste that makes you winded. And the reason you can't hold the anaerobic state for too long is because your muscles just can't store enough glucose or glycogen to stay in that anaerobic period for a long period of time, for an extended period. Thus, the shift to back to aerobic. I'm kind of getting I'm actually confusing myself here. The reason you get so winded at the end is because your oxygen levels are not normal when you finish running up a hill or you finish a sprint. What happens is the lactate that is the waste product of that anaerobic state gets exported to the liver where it's regenerated into glucose. And only that's about 80% of that waste is. The remaining is metabolized into your muscle cells in the presence of oxygen, and that's why you kind of still have that heavy breathing. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but at least that's from some of the stuff I've read, it makes sense to me. And so you just can't hold on to that. And if you're going to run a marathon like the Blue Ridge Marathon, which is going to have some serious hills, and you can't walk all of them, otherwise you probably wouldn't make the cutoff. So I'm going to have to run up, you know, some of the hills or part of the hills, and so my body's going to switch into the anaerobic state where I have to use more force. I'm going to have that muscle waste of the lactate, and I got to be able to do something with it. And if I go into the marathon without my body learning how to handle it at all, then it's really just going to be a disaster. So that's why I'm doing the hill training. You know, if I had my preference, I would run a straight marathon on flat, you know, no hills at all. I guess that's why I like the Keys Ultra and the Graveyard, because the repetition is what I like for a long period of time. I'm not a real big trail runner. I don't mind the trails, but I just really don't seek them out that much. I mean, I'd rather hike, I guess, if I was going to go on trails. That's just me. I like road running, and that's, I've talked about that before. But that's what the hill training's for, is so I can handle the Blue Ridge Marathon as much as possible. I don't really think any of the hill training I'm going to do is going to completely prepare me. I know I did hill training back when I was preparing to run the Sterling Gym 40 miler, and those mountains in Tennessee were just a lot higher than anything I had here in the Ashland area. So I don't really, I think it's really just to make myself, feel like I've done a little something so I'm ready for race day. And Sandy, I'm not really sure exactly what you're doing to prepare for it. I guess I think it's pretty flat up where you live. I'm not sure. So that's Blue Ridge Marathon, April 20th. Really looking forward to it. When I was a little boy, I lived in Roanoke, Virginia, and also my dad is going to travel down as well, and we're going to probably go drive by the old neighborhood and just kind of reminisce a little bit. He'll probably have more memories of the area than me, because he was an adult down there and I was just kindergarten, first and second grade. But, you know, I do remember some stuff. And one thing I do remember specifically is Mill Mountain. And I know the marathon goes up Mill Mountain because I've seen, I think there's an aid station at a overlook right under the Mill Mountain Star, or the Roanoke Star, I think it's what it's called. It's the, I think it's what Roanoke is called, Star City. And I know for a fact that's a pretty steep climb, because there used to be a zoo at the top of that mountain with a little train that you could ride around the zoo, and we used to do that when we were kids, and I just remember that was pretty steep up in the car. So we'll have to see what the rest of the course holds. I don't really know. I'm not going to do a whole lot of study of the course, because it'd probably just freak me out. I've already got enough anxiety as it is about running a marathon that's called the hardest one in the East. And I guess I could have a whole discussion of slow twitch and fast twitch muscles. And I really probably just get myself confused again like I just did earlier. So I think I'm going to leave that out and just leave that to your imagination. How about that? All right, let's talk about the railroad run a little bit. The railroad run is really the biggest thing of the spring for me. No offense to Sandy, but it's actually a much bigger event for me than the Blue Ridge Marathon. It's because I'm the race director of that, co-race director, as a matter of fact, but it's just easier if I just say race director instead of trying to explain the whole co-race director thing. But I'm co-race directing it with a lady named Tamara Bardwell, who is a good friend, married to Rodney, who I've done a lot of training with. And Tamara and I have co-race directed the race for the last couple of years, and we're gonna do this. We're gonna do it again this year. It's April 27th here in Ashland, Virginia. And if you want to find out more about the race, you can go to raceit.com and just type search in the search box. Put railroad or Ashland, and that'll find all the race information. Or if you really like going to my website, which is ashlanddave.podbean.com, I will have the link to the information page. Or you can go to HanoverArts.org and find the information that way, because the Hanover Arts and Activity Center sponsors the race, and I'm on the board there, have been for the last several years. The railroad run is in its 35th year, so this is something that has been going on long before I even came to this area, much longer. The race has evolved. I think it initially started over at the Randolph-Macon College, and then at some point in time kind of morphed. Different parts of the railroad tracks. We have railroad tracks that go right through the center of town, and you can't have a race that crosses the tracks because the trains are frequent. And from what I understand, in the early days, the race did cross the tracks, and there were problems with people getting split and this and that, and hurt feelings, and lost egos, and all this stuff. From what I understand, that was way before anything got certified. You know, that was in the days of people running in cotton gym shorts and Chuck Taylor high tops and Chuck Taylor low cuts and all that. But here it is, 35th year, and I've been involved with the race for about 5 years, directing it for this third year directing it. 4 years ago, I developed a new course. And if you're listening to the show and you don't like the course, it's not completely my fault. But that's a whole different subject. The year before that, I think I volunteered, and then year before that, and year before that, and year before that, I was running in it and not really involved, really with volunteering with races or anything. But anyway, here I am organizing the race now, and it's April 27th, and we're expecting we have three events, and we're expecting over 500 for the three events. So it's a pretty good size event for the Richmond area. We have chip timing again this year. We're looking to chip time the 5K. There's a 5K, a 10K, and then there's a kids 1 mile. And these kids races, whereas sometimes they are a little bit difficult to put on because it's just another event that you have to manage, it really is a lot of fun from a spectator's point of view to watch a bunch of kids just have a great time. Because if you think about it, you know, every week kids are out there playing soccer, they're out there playing basketball, football, you know, you name it. But how often do kids get to have a running race? It really doesn't happen that often. You know, kids, little kids. You know, you can play organized sports as a young age. You can swim at a young age. But there really aren't that many opportunities at a young age to have a race with other kids. So these kids races are a good idea. And while I'm not really a proponent of, you know, everybody wins, everybody gets a trophy, you know, because we're raising a whole generation of losers, of kids, or not losers, but kids that think that everything should be handed to them. I do believe that if you go out there as a kid and you run a mile or you're able to cover a mile, you know, I think you should get a train whistle. You know, that's what we gave out 1 year. Or 1 year we gave out a stamped penny with a railroad logo on it. I think that's okay. You know, when it gets a little bit more competitive, and the people that win the race get a trophy. The top boy and top girl are getting a trophy, but not everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets that comes across the finish line gets something for finishing the distance. And because there are some kids that can't that don't even sign up because they're too afraid or can't run a mile. So I'm not really a believer in the entitlement mentality of everybody wins, because not everybody does. You know, in our race, the winners get a trophy, and the participants get something for finishing. Which I if a kid doesn't finish, he's not going to get any. He's not going to get what are we giving this year? I think we're giving ribbons this year. You're not going to get a ribbon. But if you finish the 1 mile, and we're talking, you know, if a 5-year-old or 6-year-old kid runs a mile or covers a mile, that's actually kind of significant if you think about it. It's not something that they do very often because they're out there playing soccer or they're swimming or they're playing their Xbox or doing other things that just, you know, totally waste time. Anyway, that's a little bit of my soapbox on that. But anyway, we're really trying to grow the 5K this year. I really believe that that's the growth of the event is in the 5K. Unfortunately, our 5K is not certified to the U.S. Track and Field. We're working on that. If you don't know what that entails having somebody come out and certify the course. Hardest part is finding somebody to do it, and second hardest part is finding the time to meet them, and then, of course, you got to pay them. That's something we want to do. It wasn't something that I'm probably going to be able to do in my tenure with organizing the race, but I'm going to definitely promote that in the future. But this year we're adding trophies to the people that win the 5K. And the reason is because we had someone come out last year that really kicked ass in the 5K, and we didn't have anything to give her. And people are racing the 5K. In the past, it's been advertised as a 5K fun run, fun walk, you know, whatever. You know, the whole thing is fun. If you want to come out and walk any of the events, you're welcome to, as long as you finish within a reasonable amount of time. But we're gonna award the winners, and I think that's something that you should do. So there's some growth in the 5K, just trophies for the winners this year. The 10K is really the big event, which always has the most participants, and we give out trophies for the top three finishers in each gender, and then the overall male and female winner get gift certificates to a local sports store. I think last year we had $100 gift certificates. So that, you know, that's not bad to come out and win. You know, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It's, you know, I think if somebody comes out, pays their $25 and they run the thing, whether they set a course record or not, if they're the overall winner, I think you should give them a big prize. And to me, $100 of anything is a decent prize. And I figure if somebody is good enough to win a 10K, then they probably do shop for shoes at, let's see, we'll probably pick a place that's politically neutral that still sells guns. So we probably wouldn't go to Dick's this year. We'd probably go to a more of a specialty store. Sorry, hard to keep the politics out of the podcast. So the Railroad Run is a lot of fun. It is in its 35th year, which means we're going to... Oh, okay, I'm going to have to get into the politics again. Let's talk about green for a minute. The Railroad Run is a green race, which means we encourage carpooling. You know, we do everything we can to reduce waste. We don't even give out a goodie bag. We don't solicit, you know, all that crap to put in the bag. We don't even give out a bag. We call it bib pickup because we don't accept, you know, all these flyers to put in. Think about your last marathon or half marathon that you went to, how much junk you get that you end up putting in the trash. You know, regardless of where your politics stand, it just doesn't make sense to give people stuff that you know they're going to throw away. So those races aren't green. The Railroad Run has been a green race over the last couple of years. There's been a couple different things here and there. They did a shoe event. I'm not really sure what happened to the shoes. I know we do. What else do we do? We try not to give out all this stuff. We don't give out plastic bags. We encourage carpooling to the event. These are what makes these things a green race. And there's actually a website called GoGreenRoadRace.com that has a lot of the different some of the qualifications to make your race green. Well, and then we actually did recycled cotton 1 year, or organic cotton shirts 1 year, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense to continue that because those shirts actually cost more, so we weren't raising as much money. And we are a charity. The Hanover Arts and Activity Center ultimately is a charity to do a cultural art stuff in the community, which, you know, you burn fossil fuels whenever you leave the lights on at night. I don't know. There gets to a point of diminishing returns with this whole green thing, and I'm not a huge proponent of it. I kind of go along with it because it's been the tradition of the race over the last several years. But there was some discussion over a commemorative item that we wanted to give away in the race to commemorate the race's 35th year, and that was the traditional plastic tumbler cup that you get at everything you go to. Now, when I've gone to marathons and half marathons and there is a plastic cup in the goodie bag, that cup gets a lot of use. I will use plastic cups pretty much until they almost, get holes burned in them. I have lots of uses for plastic cups. They're almost permanent in my house, if you know what I mean. I don't throw them in the trash. I can find uses for plastic cups. Well, so this plastic cup idea came up because, we don't give away gloves, we don't give away hats. The cup seemed to be the simplest idea to commemorate the 35th year of the race as a souvenir. And also, it just so happens on the day of the Ashland Railroad Run, we're having a craft beer festival that afternoon. So we're going to try to, well, at least that's still in the works, but it looks like it's going to happen. And it just seemed to be a no-brainer to... have this have a cup, so that way people that come to the race and get their souvenir cup, they can do the race, and if they don't mind hanging out for the rest of the day sweaty or whatever, they can always go to Hardee's or somewhere and change their clothes into something dry. They can use their cup to drink some craft beers for the afternoon beer festival, and then figure out how they're going to get home if they had too much. All right, so we thought the idea of a plastic cup was good, even using recycled plastic, which you can use recycled plastic for your plastic cup. Oh, there was some balking at that, and it was kind of funny. And they said, well, we really shouldn't use plastic if we're a green race. And I said, well, you know what? We really shouldn't have this beer festival if we want to be green, because you're just going to be bringing all these people to Ashland. And people come to beer events wherever you have them. People will come to beer events, having them burn up all their fossil fuels in their cars to come to this event. Doesn't that kind of negate our whole green idea? And, or better yet, let's not even have the Railroad Run so people don't even start their car's engine on that Saturday in April, on April 27th, and burn up all that fuel coming to Ashland. If we really want to be green, then let's not even have the event at all. You know, there just becomes a point where the whole argument becomes asinine as far as I'm concerned. We're not giving away all that crap in the bag. We're not printing out, we're not promoting other races and printing out a whole bunch of stuff. If somebody wants to give us some flyers to hand out, we'll do that. We've made posters of the course map, so we don't give out maps of the course to everybody that wants one. We put everything online. We encourage online registration. even though that people don't want to pay. And this is another thing I get a big kick out of. People say, well, I don't want to pay that race fee for Race It. You know, I want to print out and mail my my registration form in. Also, that's fine. Okay, so you're going to use an envelope that was manufactured, you know, that uses up trees. You're going to use paper, print out your thing that uses up trees. You're going to use electricity that powered the printer, the laser printer that printed your registration. Then you're going to use a ballpoint pen that was manufactured and to fill out that registration form. Then you're using a stamp that was made from paper, which has glue on the back, which probably was squeezed out of a tree somewhere. I don't know how they make glue on stamps or the adhesive. And then you're going to put it in a mailbox, and a truck is going to come up to that mailbox and is going to unload all that, and they're going to burn all that fossil fuel while they take that letter from probably right here in town and deliver it to the Hanover Arts and Activity Center. Whereas you could have just gone online and paid the $1.50, you know, big deal. Or, you know, if you can't handle that, just don't do it. So that it just becomes to a point where, look, you know, we're doing the most that we can. We're encouraging carpooling. We're not giving, you know, haven't printing out all this extra stuff. We're not even doing their bid pickup for a long period of time. We're minimizing those hours. So we're not, you know, it's just, we're doing what we can to make the thing as green as possible and to leave the smallest footprint that we can and still try to raise money. And I guess I'm a little extreme with my argument, and I'm probably going to get in trouble with some of my comments with some of my race committee members. But they don't listen to the podcast anyway, so they won't hear that. But anyway, the Railroad Run, that's all the behind-the-scenes stuff. The Railroad Run is a great event. It really is. It's called the Ashland Railroad Run. It's in the 35th year. It's got a great 10K course. It's flat, definitely PR-able. It's got some more turns than some people would like, only because we're restricted to one quadrant of town. But the best part of this event is how close you can get to the trains that come through town. Of course, you don't want to get hit by the train. But running next to a huge moving train, whether it's running with you or going in the opposite direction of you, is really quite an experience. And it's not one that you get very often unless you live in a railroad town or go to one for a race, because most railroad tracks have gravel next to it on a slant, and it's private property of the railroad. But here in Ashland, you can the course runs right alongside the tracks, which is right on, we call it Center Street. And it's really cool. So there'll be a commercial at the end of the podcast, so you can find out more about that. Go to three ways, raceit.com, search Ashland or Railroad. Go to ashlanddave.podbean.com. You'll see a link under show number 173. Or go to hanoverarts.org. That's hanoverarts.org. And you can scroll down a little bit, and you'll find the link to the race there. And we will add more stuff to Hanover Arts as we put the course maps online, you know, get those linked to. We'll be using the same ones we have before. And we get excellent support from the Ashland Police Department for this race. It's excellent. We have a great relationship with Command Sergeant Bill Gatewood, and we've been complimented each year. Tamara and I have been involved, and that's really cool because he puts on so many events in this town. Ashland is the only incorporated town in the Richmond metropolitan area, which makes it the only small town in this area, a small town of 7,000 people. So lots of people like to come here for little quirky, weird stuff. There's always something going on here. Strawberry Festival, they have something called Train Day that brings in thousands of people. Strawberry Festival brings in thousands of people. Railroad Run doesn't bring in thousands of people, but we bring in about 500 people. And there's lots of stuff that happens here. And anyway, Bill Gatewood with Ashland Police has always been a great supporter, and he doesn't listen to the podcast either, but somehow maybe the word will trickle over to him of my compliments. All right, well, let's get into the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this week. We've got a couple good ones, especially one about a fundraiser that I want to call your attention to. All right, I want to tell you about Steve. Steve lives right here in the center of the universe, and I heard from him just a couple days ago. And when he emailed me and said he had just discovered the podcast when he heard Dirt Dog talking about it, and he really liked the podcast. He thought it was kind of funny because he lives right here in Ashland and didn't know there was a podcast here, but now he does. And looks like he's done some running. He ran the 8K at the Richmond Marathon. A friend of his ran the Colonial 200. But anyway, he's raising some money for Crones and the Crones and Colitis Foundation of America's Team Challenge. He had just joined the Richmond team. He set up his own fundraising page with the goal of raising $3,000 for research into a cure for Crohn's disease to help those out that are afflicted with the disease. And Steve is one of those. He was diagnosed with Crohn's in November of last year, and he's been working with his GI doc on figuring out the right medications for his condition. If you don't know what Crohn's is, it's an autoimmune disease where the immune system attacks the bowel, which can cause some painful gastrointestinal situations. And he said everybody experiences different pain with that. So he has set up a page, and it's on the active.com donate section. And it's I'm going to link that at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And it's going to be called Steve's Donation Page for Crohn's. But if you're real savvy, it's at active.com/donate/VA13/VAS Buoni, B-U-O-N-I, which is Steve's last name. And, I had a friend that had that, but he's passed since now. But so it kind of, when I got Steve's email, it kind of hit a little sensitive note with me. And he's going to be running the Virginia Wine Country Half Marathon on June 1st, trying to raise the money before that. And so what I want to do is I'm going to try to interview Steve, and that'll be for a future podcast. So Steve and I will exchange some emails, and we'll go from there. But Steve, thank you so much for contacting me, and hopefully I can point some people over towards your cause. Also, wanted to reach out and mention Tom Grant. He turned 50 years old. And I've got some great audio clips from his 50-mile effort, which we'll go ahead and put in at the end of the show. So stick around for that. So congratulations to Tom Grant. Well done on covering 50 miles as you turn 50. Also heard from, and I'll have those audio clips at the end of the show. Also heard from Karen, and let's see, she is, I'm not sure where she's out of. She's from Indiana. And she really likes the podcast, especially the episodes about the relays, and because she relived the Ragnar relay that she had run from Madison, Wisconsin to Chicago, which was June of last year. She said going into the weekend, she only knew one person, but by the end of the weekend, their van of five women had turned into really good friends, and on the drive home, it actually started plotting their next Ragnar relay. And what they're going to do this summer is run the Ragnar Canada as an ultra team, each person running six legs rather than three, which is around 35 miles each. I say, Karen, go for that. That sounds like my cup of tea, minus the logistics. Logistics are tough for that. But anyway, she had a funny story about how the women got a little raunchy in the van. And I thought that was really funny. And I appreciate you sending that to me, Karen. And I think if your subject line in your email said stand up and be counted, and I can't remember if I heard from you or not back in the stand up and be counted campaign, but if I did not, I appreciate you checking in. And if I did hear from you back then, sorry that I forgot about that. All right, heard from Tim and out of North Carolina. Tim is the same one that, he's out of Tennessee, I'm sorry. And he says that he was commenting on how people don't greet each other during the race. And it seems to him, he likes to greet other people during marathons. And he says that it seems that the people, men and women over 40, answer back. The ones that don't answer seem to be too serious, seem to be very serious. And he says that he hopes the serious ones come to recognize the pleasure in front of running, especially, you know, greeting other people out there on the trail. So what he did is he wanted to pass on a little funny post-run story. And he said he had passed out. He actually passed out in church right after a long run. He said a few years ago he ran a 10-miler on a warm Sunday morning. He pushed it really hard, got done 30 minutes before he went to church, took a quick shower, headed out. Said he started getting lightheaded and warm during the some of the readings, and then during the pastor's homily, he said it was all he could do from passing out. His wife kept asking him if he was okay, telling them they should leave, but he said he couldn't leave in the middle of church. He said he eventually had to leave the pew and head to the back of the church. He got behind the last pew, and he said everything just went black at that point. He passed out. He said the next thing he heard his wife saying, Tim, Tim, Tim. And he said a couple other people were there with the water and a cookie. And he says he just seems like his blood sugar got too low and he's dehydrated. He said to this day, the priest always asks him how he's feeling when he sees him at church, and his wife makes sure that he has something to eat and drink after a run. So, Tim, I really appreciate you saving that. I think you are the Abuelo Runs person, if I'm not mistaken. You did not put that in your address line, but I'm good to hear from you again. I really do appreciate that. Heard from Christina at the Lazy Bones running blog, and we traded some emails about Oscar Pistorius, and all I can say is what a tragedy for his girlfriend. You know, regardless of what really happened, you know, one thing we do know is that she's dead, and whether he's lying or telling the truth, it's not going to bring her back, and it's just what a tragedy. You know, a woman with so much in her future, him with so much in his future, and to have an incident where someone's life was taken was just awful. And Christine and I had exchanged some opinions on what we thought might have really happened, and the biggest problem was probably the reporting from the media, so we don't really know what the facts are. But I do remember doing an episode about Oscar Pistorius, because I thought it was remarkable that he was able to make the Olympics while in prosthetic limbs, and whether you thought that was fair or not, it was still pretty remarkable. So it's a real shame that that happened. And Christina, good to hear from you, and I'm glad that we got a chance to exchange some opinions on that. As always good to hear from you. Also heard from Scott over the Weekly Computer Tutor podcast at computertutorflorida.com. And I listen to his podcast. It's really just 10-15 minutes long, which is perfect length for if you like to string together different podcasts. And what I've started doing is looking for I'll save longer ones for my long run, but for the shorter runs during the week, I like to piece together shorter podcasts with some music, or sometimes I don't run them with the iPod at all. But Scott's got a perfect one. You can find that over at computertutorflorida.com. Always got lots of tips and shortcuts for the computer. And anyway, he said that he was listening to a review of a February Ultra. He said it was kind of funny to hear the male reviewer say my banana was almost frozen. Yeah, that was pretty funny. And yeah, what I'd like to... Scott, email me back and let me know which one that was. I thought that was pretty funny. Also heard from Dr. Smitty. Many thanks to him for putting the Ashland Railroad Run on the Tidewater Striders website. And really do appreciate you doing that. And looks like the guy that runs the website down there just did his first 100-miler at the Rocky Raccoon in 1616. Got third place set a new age group, and he's doing Leadville. Greg says he's a super nice guy. And Greg, you know, I really appreciate you sharing that information and putting that on the website down there. We did have somebody from Virginia Beach sign up for the race. And I'd like to think it was because you put that on the Tidewater Striders website. So I really do appreciate that. And hope you get registered soon, too, for the railroad run. Really looking forward to seeing you if you can come up here for that, especially because there's a beer. Looks like there's going to be that beer event after that. And if that's the case, then I'm sure we can work something out. So please do that if you can. And also heard from Bonnie. Now, Bonnie does not listen to the podcast, but she works at Aces. And she just wanted to let me know that she got the donation in the amount of $10 from Mark and Sherilyn. And you know who you are out there. So I appreciate what that's nice to know. Like I said, I don't check up on the donations. But what Bonnie will do from time to time is let me know that they received a donation. And it just kind of lets me know that somebody really did send it. And it makes me feel good to know that they're getting some of the money for the DVDs that I've been sending out. So, yeah, it's good to hear from that. So you guys that do send the donations, you know, it's all on the honor system. Of course, appreciate it very much. And, you know, I've got several Ultra movies that you can choose from. I think I sent the whole series out here recently to somebody. I can't remember who it was. Might have been, I think it was Scott over at the Computer Tutor podcast, if I'm not mistaken. I guess he got them. They're really good. There's several. Got Mountain Masochist, of course, the Keys Ultra, North Face Washington, D.C., North Face Atlanta, which is really North Face Pine Mountain. And then, of course, I've got the graveyard and actually got Strolling Gym 40 miler too. Forgot about that. So anyway, if you're interested in any of those, just email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I can tell you more about them. And they're all in DVD format. And I can probably put most, I can put them all on two DVDs. So it's not like you got to, you know, keep getting up and popping in different discs if you want to sit down and watch them. They're all, you know, produced in an amateur manner, but turned out pretty good. And so I offer those out in exchange for trying to raise money for this charity, which is all on the honor system. All right, well, let's get into some of the audio clips from Tom's 50 miler. And what that was Tom decided to run 50 miles here in the center of the universe to celebrate turning 50. And he had a lot of support, and it was really crazy what he did. But I was able to get out there for the last 5 miles, and so I got some audio from some of it. And maybe he can, I know he listens to the podcast, that way he can kind of relive some of those moments now that they're out there in cyberspace forever. All right, Tom, this is this last part of the show is dedicated to you and your unbelievable effort and covering that distance for really no reason other than turning 50. So let's check out some of these clips.
Woo! 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 Woo!
So you started at 6:30 this morning?
Yeah.
Right now it's what, 3:30? 3:20. So is this gonna be your best 50 mile time?
Yeah. I think so.
I told you you'd run this fast. I told her.
And you told me it helps when you don't have any mountains.
The trails. The streams across.
I knew we had to hurry up.
So how many did you get some good? So did Norma come out and run with you?
You ever just do 6 over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw him earlier. We stopped by the church around, I guess about 1 o'clock. See what was going on. Had to get down and move some furniture.
He's unbelievable.
Well, he's running now. He used to do a lot of walking.
Yeah.
Who called the group?
No,
a guy named Norbert. Oh. All right, we're here running with Tom. He's at almost 49 miles.
48.6 for him.
All right. Also running with Rodney and Tamara. So what made you decide to celebrate turning 50 by running 50 miles? I can think of many other things.
My wife asked me if I wanted to party, and I don't like to be the center of attention. I don't like
something. Unlike today?
Yeah.
Hey, I like to be the center of attention, but I don't be a party.
So she said, well, how about running 50 miles? And I said, how about a ironing board for your birthday? But she organized everything, so.
All right, left up here.
I figured the least I could do is run.
So
it's been great.
So you started at 6:30. You've had people run with you all day, right?
Yep.
All right, so we're finishing the last leg. Left turn here. So who'd you start with this morning?
Started with Lieutenant Flack.
And it's just the two of y'all?
Yep.
He said y'all ran 12 miles in 2 hours. Pretty quick clip.
He was supposed to be pacing me, but he was a little over anxious.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he did great.
Good pace for him.
Plus, a girl named Mary Ellen was with us. I think he was just trying to run and get away from her. She talked the whole time.
Does she listen to the podcast?
No.
I don't think she does. All right. All right, so you're doing 50 miles today. How many is that for the week?
50.
Oh, you didn't run all week?
No.
All right, dumb question, get a dumb answer. Okay. What's your plan for this week?
I'm trying to run like 2 miles on Monday, see how I feel. And hopefully I'll be able to do that. And then I got to get back to my wife's marathon training schedule.
And you said you got in the bull run?
Yeah.
And that is April 13th?
April 13th.
That'll be your second or third doing that?
Third.
That's a 50. That's mostly trail, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, I could do the water stop and still drive up there until you finish.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll be quick. Hey, I ran with Gary.
Did you win?
A lot.
Nippling?
Yeah, it's the ICA. In fact, we ran most of the last two loops together.
All right, we'll be done in a little bit. Oh, our pleasure.
Nasty day.
Well, it is snowing, but fortunately it's not accumulating. I don't think we're running into a headwind anymore.
At least it's like not 98 degrees like on the right here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here they are right here. Finish line's on the east side of Starbucks.
Where's east?
The east is on that side. Where's east? The east side? So the east side, well, we mixed it up a little bit. We had some disagreements. We had some disagreements. Oh, here it is. Let's go on this side. Where the kids are. Well, it's going to be a little over 50, but that's a typical.
Tell them to get a Starbucks.
Yeah. I even got a finish line for you.
All right, all those kids, there's a bunch of kids cheering out there. We had a lot of families and folks out there just to welcome Tom back. He started real early in the morning. I think he ran, I don't know how many hours he did. He did, I think, 9 hours and some change. He did really good with the 50 miles. And he'll be doing the, looks like Shamrock Marathon, March 17th. Unfortunately, his wife Jill has suffered a stress fracture. He's hoping to get her back for that. She's trying to qualify for Boston. And so we don't really know the prognosis there. And then, of course, he'll be running the Bull Run April 13th. And I'd love to be able to go up there and see him finish that. It's not that far from here, a couple-hour drive. But I don't know. I'm not really sure about that. Okay, well, that's the podcast for this week. I'm going to put in the Ashland Railroad Run commercial here at the end. And I'd like to encourage you to check out Steve's site for donating for the Crohn's disease fundraiser. Of course, you can always email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Check out the website, ashlanddave@podbean.com. No, ashlanddave.podbean.com. Got the donate button on there if you're interested. And that's it for this week. Y'all have a good one. I'll come back at you in 2 weeks for another podcast. Remind, this is Ashland Dave running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week, and don't forget to hug your kids.
The 2013 Ashland Railroad Run can reach the rail in Ashland, Virginia. Join us on Saturday, April 27th for the 35th annual running of one of Virginia's oldest road races alongside the tracks and through the historic town of Ashland, Virginia. The center of the universe! The certified 10K race is a favorite spring ritual among runners from around the Commonwealth and beyond. It's a great race for setting a PR. There's also a 5K fun run and a 1 mile kids race. The kids race has cool prizes. Join hundreds of your friends and come to the center of the universe on April 27th and race the rail. If you're lucky, you might be able to run alongside a huge moving train. For more information, go to hanoverarts.org or email ashlanddave@gmail.com. You can also go to Race It and type railroad in the search box. I was a 5K marshal last year and will be again this year, so I can't wait. Run Ashland first.
See you there.
Blue didn't say anything.